1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll read out loud. I won't have you stand, but this time, but I'm going to read out loud. I'm going to go down to verse 9 or 10. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Father, I pray you bless the word today, the preaching and all these things, and help us to respond. And even in a group like this, there could be someone that isn't saved, but I know there are many of us that struggle with our emotions and our feelings and our attitudes and our anger and our bitterness and all these things that just get into our life. But I know you can help us with that. You are able to give us great grace even when we disagree with people, even when we don't understand the situations. And I pray you'd help us to seek you in this today, and we would get on fire for you to do something for you this year before you return, before we go to meet you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let me give you, by way of introduction, I'll have an introduction and 2 points. How about that? Each one of the 2 points have about 7 or 8 points, sub-points, but anyway, we need to rehearse. This is the last chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We started preaching through this, I think it was back in September. Anyhow, we've been going through it, hitting some different things, and so I want to rehearse with you before we get to the chapter 16 here, and just remind us, Paul was dealing with some issues under the inspiration of the Scripture, under the Spirit of God, and we dealt in chapter 1 with division about personalities. We talked about all that. Chapter 2 was a chapter that really highlighted the preaching and the power of God. He said in 2:5 that, you know, not by our faith, but the wisdom, the power of God, and all that. Chapter 3, we dealt with carnal Christians. And also we got on the foundation that we build, wood, hay, stubble, and all that, getting ready for the judgment seat of Christ for Christians. Chapter 4, Paul talked a lot about following him as he followed Christ and different things there. Chapter 5, we dealt with fornication and all the issues that God dealt with there and that. Chapter 6, legal issues among church members. Chapter 7, marriage and its mishandling of it. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 dealt with meat offerings and idols and how to deal with Christians and brothers and sisters that are different ways and things and how to train them and all that. Chapter 11, we dealt with the Lord's Supper. What I didn't deal with was the first part of that chapter was a hair, prayer, and nair. And y'all would have loved that sermon because the first of that chapter talks about women's hair and men's hair, and nair is something they used a long time ago to remove hair. That's all I... But I think I missed that message. I didn't get to preach it, but anyway... And the Lord's Supper. And then chapters 12, 13, and 14, spiritual gifts, charity, tongues, and how God placed an emphasis on charity and on preaching the gospel and making it clear and plain. Chapter 15, God gives us a clear definition of the gospel. And then he talked about the fact that if Christ wasn't resurrected from the dead, then we are of all men most miserable because he is a living God, he is alive. And then we come back, preach the same chapter, and we dealt with the resurrection of the Christians that is to come. We talked about the rapture. And we talked about our redeemed bodies. Not very long ago, we talked about all that, how that we'll have a new body and changed and glorified and all that. And so we dealt with all those things. Then we come to chapter 6, and it's almost like a letdown. Paul just goes through all those wonderful things, and he just gets back to the practical as he winds down. So here's the outline for chapter 16, although this is an outline of 3 points. They are actually going to be 3 messages. Number 1 is money, verses 1 through 4. He deals with the collection, and I'm going to try to deal with that tonight. We're going to take attendance to see who's here. just kidding. And deal with that tonight. And then verses 5 through 9 is the ministry. And that's really where I'm going to preach today because this is our New Year challenge 2018, you know, for our church. And then from chapters 10 on down, the ministers. He deals with all the people. And that'll probably be Wednesday night. The Lord willing, we're going to talk about some of the things. Everybody's important in God's work, isn't it? And we'll get into that. But today, let's just start off with this here, a great, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. I got to learn to start writing bigger so I won't have to wear my glasses to read it. Then I can move around a little better. But the great and effectual door, and I know he's there in Ephesus. They're wanting to come to Corinth. Corinth was a city of about 600,000 people, and there's a local church there, and he's dealing with the issues by writing to them. He eventually does get there and come. We read about that in 2 Chronicles, Corinthians and all that. But in this, he's doing all these things. But now as he's winding this letter down and he deals with how to collect money, we'll talk about that in a minute. But then he goes here. He says, I would come right now, but I can't. I'm going to stay at Ephesus. And you can go back in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, and other chapters, read about all the work there when he was going on in Ephesus. And 3 years, I think, he was there, and all the work that went on, the church, and all the great things. He said, I'm going to stay here. And he says, why? I'm going to tarry here because, he says, for is a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. And so the first point, I guess, is this, the great and effectual door at Shenandoah Baptist Church. Now, we do know that the things that were written for our learning, right? And so we're going to read about this. We know it's true. We know what Paul's saying. But today, it's going to be one of those practical, topical messages where we apply it to ourselves because we're starting off anew here. I've decided to tarry here. Haven't you decided to tarry here for a while? We're going to tarry at Cleveland, tarry at Shenandoah, tarry at Ocoee Highway, Water Level Highway, whatever it is. We're in this area, East Tennessee. We're here. Let's see what God has for us. And that's kind of where I'm going here. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, God says that he opened a door for them and no man can shut it. And if he shuts it, no man can open it. So when God has opened a door, we need to get involved in it. We know missionaries and over the years that have gone to fields that they say, well, the door's closed. In some of those cases, missionaries have had to come home because there just wasn't any way they could get in. Sometimes they got in by stealth. They figured out ways of getting in. And maybe they went in not as missionaries, but as dentists or lawyers or doctors. You know what I'm saying is they got in there so they could get the gospel to those people. But sometimes we know there are open doors. And you'll hear about things going on in certain parts of the country or of the world, in Africa or Philippines and even here at different times. You hear about something. Man, people getting saved left and right. Well, let me share this with you. I know the world's getting worse and worse and all that kind of thing in the eyes that we understand this, but God's power is getting, it is greater grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Let's don't ever get the mindset that we can't see people saved and lives changed and families helped. And so, here are some things that make it great. Great. Number one, it's great because we have that same person, that same power, that same Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's still alive today, folks. He's still working in our hearts. If you got saved, whatever moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in to this body. It's been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you and I to remind ourselves again that we have a great door of opportunity because we have the power, the person of the Holy Spirit of God in us. And we're talking about Jesus in some of the adult Sunday school classes and about Christ. The truth of the matter is, and I know I say this, and I know it seems hypocritical when you turn around and make a mistake, but it is always all about Him. And that is the battle. And you know, I learned a song years ago. I don't know if it's a song or a saying, but joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You know, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that even when I kneel to prayer, my prayer would be for others. And you know, that's hard to do. I like to pray for me and all those kind of things, you know, so we have to work on that. But it is a great, Shenandoah has a great opportunity. We're here. We've been placed here. Every one of us in this church has been placed here for a reason. And by the way, we can get our hearts and minds and lives crossways with God. He don't always just zap us out of here. We have to go through some things sometimes. He's working in our lives and teaching us, but it's all about bringing us back to where we trust Him. And so a great door because of the person of the Holy Spirit. Number two, it is a great door of opportunity because we have a great preaching center. These are going to have to all have the P to them, so you know that's how I get going here. But I'm talking about the local church. And there are some mission boards in days gone past where they had things they called preaching centers or mission stations or stuff like that. I believe in the local church. You understand that this is the Bible's very clear about local churches, and this is the one for this area. This is Shenandoah Baptist Church, the local church. But it is a preaching center. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. Why? Because listen, folks, We need preaching. I mean, sometimes when I can, I'll get in my office, either one of them, one at my house or here, and if everything else is taken care of and I'm maybe reading or doing something, but I'm not like studying in depth, I'll turn on some preacher and just listen to a preacher. Somebody I believe in, by the way. Not just anybody. Be careful. You know, one of the things I do as a pastor, preacher, is just try to warn you when the Holy Spirit warns me. And I may say things over because I know I wrote it in my notes, but be careful. There is always devil and his influence and whatever is trying to put false things into our life. I've lived long enough to see so many things come back up that I thought were solved, but the devil brings them back up in his group. And so, but we have a great preaching center. You say, well, Brother John, there's things go on at Shenandoah sometimes I don't agree with. Let me ask you a question. Does anything ever go on in your house you don't agree with? Right. Everything ever go on in America you don't agree? How many times have you said about somebody, you heard them on the news or TV giving America a hard time, you said, well, if they want to go, let's let them go to some other country. Anybody ever said it? I have. I said, I'll pay the way. I mean, I love America. America's got a lot of faults. It's leading the world in a lot of bad things. But bless God, we got the right to preach and teach and live and make have a job. I love America. If somebody don't like it, leave it. But here's the thing. How old are you, Junior? 2? You like it here? No? Well, then leave. No, you don't want to. No, we're going to keep them around and work with them and work together until he at least gets 3. And make this thing work, you know. And so in a church like this, I've been saying this for weeks, and the Holy Spirit's been working on my heart about this. I know we don't always agree on things. I know there's some things I do y'all don't agree with, and I don't mean that trying to get sympathy. I'm just telling you, we can still love the Lord Jesus individually because he's the one that judges us anyway. And so we have a great preaching center. We have a great and effectual door because of the power and the person of the Holy Spirit because of the preaching center. This is going to seem silly to you, but it sort of goes with what I just said, but because of political allowances. So what do you mean by that? We do have freedom of speech. You know, there are some places you say the wrong thing and your tongue falls out of your mouth with a knife. That still goes on, or your head gets cut off, or you're put in prison. And that has happened here. Things like that in America and early on, a lot of preachers were put in jail. You read the history of America and history of the Baptists. Many of them were placed in prison for preaching the truth and you know, and those kind of things. John Bunyan, you go back and hear about his story and being in the jail there and all that. But bless God, we've had some things happen. And I'm not one of these guys that it doesn't matter who the president is or who the governors are. God can override all that. But it is nice to have one that at least believes it's okay to preach the gospel. It gives us that right to do that. So we have a great opportunity here because of that. We have a great opportunity because of postal innovations. Ben Franklin didn't know what he was doing when he got started in the post office, right? We've come a long way from the Pony Express to instant access. I mean, it's like, it amazes me every day. I'll listen to some news or I'll listen to somebody and say, well, I got this, and I can't remember all the names. And I'm not totally ignorant. I know I could if I took time to study all that, but it's just not in my schedule. But I under cell phones and iPads and Twitter and Facebook and all those kind of things they do. But I was hearing them say, you know, I got this new one. It's a 6, and then they got a number 8, and then they got a number 10. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, 10 this, 10 that, 10. And I think that's wonderful. And I said, man, I'm still on number 1. I barely can. But I understand all that, and I think we should do all that. But my point I'm making in saying that is this, all those things, even if you go back to the radio and telegraph, how far back you want to go, and the radio and internet and all these things, they should be used and were used probably for the glory of God at one time or another. You know as well as I do the Hollywood crowd and the newspaper. And by the way, I feel guilty every time I say this. The Hollywood crowd are a bunch of nuts, but listen, it's our money that supports them. If we wasn't buying all that garbage and putting all the stuff in there, that somebody, I mean, they're not going to, if they can't get on TV, they ain't going to get on it. No, just stay with me. This is the first Sunday of the year I get to rant and rave a little bit here. But my point is this. Those things that I said, those technological advances and all those things, can be used for the glory of God. And we should be doing it that way. But now here's a little warning, red light. Let me just say this as sweet and kind as I know how. When you put stuff on Facebook, the world sees it. It's not like just having a conversation with somebody. And you need to teach your children, you need to teach your parents that. I quit watching. I don't think it's wrong to be on it. Don't get me wrong. My wife, I think, has that. Years ago, people were coming to me at church saying, look, did you see this on Facebook? So-and-so, look here, they just went to the vacation. And I see a picture of a nude, I don't want to see that. Well, that's your deacon's wife right now. Kidding here, okay, calm down, Actually, I'm not. I saw things that should not be seen by me. I mean, I'm all for vacation, stuff like that, but there's things that ought not be on the... How did I get on that? Anyway. Postal innovations. We have a great and effectual door because of the power and person of the Holy Spirit, because of the preaching in the local church, because we politically or government has allowed us to preach this time and not have to sneak around and do it, because of all the postal or innovations of news and mass media and getting things out there that we can do in a good way and all the tracks and things we put out there. Number five, we have a great open door. Catch this, this is very important, because of our pre-trib theology. Do you know... If you old-timers have been around here with me, if you'll notice something, Lee Robertson was known for his faith, of course, but what was the other thing? He preached on the second coming about every time I ever heard him preach. He truly believed the Lord was coming back in his lifetime. And because he believed that, and by the way, the Bible teaches that, he's coming back in one of our lifetime. The Bible teaches that. But if we believe that, it puts an urgency in our life to get people saved, because death or deliverance is coming and it's too late after that. The philosophies that teach purgatory, and I know that that's taught through Catholicism. If you have friends or family or you're involved in that, I'm not being mean or unkind, but if you'll hear me out, you'll understand this. If it's not taught in the Bible, it ought not be taught. And it's not in the Word of God. And that kind of thinking, even if you use a different term or some kind of a youth group gets another event going on or some kind of a cult or whatever, the whole philosophy I hear when I read or watch even television or something, I see this mentality that we're all going to figure it all out after we're dying, after we're dead, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. It's today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. And you and I just have to be reminded from time to time about what I'm saying here. Jesus is coming back. The hope, the comfort, the joy that the Lord's coming back, but also puts a burden on us that we do our job before it's too late for our friends and family members. And so we have a great door because of that. We have a great door because there are many people, over what, 7 billion now? You know, my wife used to kid, I don't even know how to say this and y'all not misunderstand it. I love you. I love people. God help me love people. But I really don't like people. No, I mean, I shouldn't say that. She told me when we got married, she said, I believe if you could get us, just your family, move off in the woods somewhere and never see anybody ever again, you'd do it. I said, amen, sister. I mean, I'm country. I said, man, I love it. I mean, that's, but here's the deal. Jesus died for people. God called me to preach. I mean, that was one of my excuses. Lord, I don't even like them. I said the other day, if there was some way I didn't have to have a cell phone, I promise you I'd throw it away. I mean, but you got to have it and stuff like that, but it's like, ugh. But here's the deal. There are over 105,000 people in Bradley County. Approximately 48,000 to 50,000 in Cleveland City. That's not counting Polk County, just a couple of miles down the road, and McMinn County, and even Hamilton County. I mean, what I'm trying to say is this. We got thousands of people that don't attend church that aren't saved. And so we have a people. We have, in other words, it's sort of like if you had a big 20-acre field, it was all fenced in, and you knew there wasn't a rabbit in it. I mean, it had been scanned with infrared lights and rays, and people had searched it out, and there was not one rabbit in that field. And you say, you want to go rabbit hunting? I said, probably not. There's no rabbits there. But if I was driving down the road and I saw a little cotton, y'all don't mind, don't get hurt now. I'm not using Bambi, I'm using a cottontail. A little rabbit. And he was hunting through that field, and somebody said, hey, would you like to go rabbit hunting? I said, man, I'd love to. Got any dogs to go with? Give me a gun. Because, I mean, Jamie makes great rabbit gravy. I mean, and some of y'all folks haven't eaten right now, I'm telling you. But, well, I'm not saying it might be one person that God called Philip to go witness to the fellow on the Ethiopian eunuch there. I understand that. But at the same time, when we know there's thousands of people around here, we have no excuse not to try to reach people. And so we have a great and effectual door because of that. And I'm leaving out even the missions that we support and all the different ministries like that. That's part of it, but I'm talking about just right here. We have a great and effectual door that God has opened for us. Number 7, because we have a great plan to follow. Matthew 28:19-20. Go into all the world and preach. That's Mark, but let me read it. I used to know that till I said it. Matthew 28:19-20, Great Commission. I'm heading that way because this is God's plan. I'm being very practical with you in just a few moments. I'm going to share this with you. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have a plan that has worked for 2,000 years. We don't need to change it. We're to preach, reach, teach. We're to win them, wed them, work them. I mean, we're to go out there and give the gospel and get them saved and then get them in here and get them baptized and then teach them to do the same thing for their families and their children. And the truth is, I believe, I was hitting myself, and I know sometimes, I'll get to that part, the many adversaries in just a few moments, but that burden is not always there anymore like it used to be. And I'm not talking about a sin burden that you carry around that weighs you down. I'm talking about a heart burden that keeps you alert and alive to the needs of people. When you see them and you know, hey, are they saved? Do you have that thought in your mind? Could I help these out? Even if you don't even want to use the salvation part at this point, you see families struggling. You're thinking, man, those kids are going to go through all these tragic things. If that family was living for God, it'd be a lot better, right? I mean, God wants us to help people. And so this plan, we have the buses and the Sunday school and all the things that we do. I mentioned that SeaTac a while ago. We're trying to put that together just making it a neat name so we can go out and reach people and preach the gospel and train people and encourage our Sunday school teachers to try to grow their classes and build their classes, not just so that we can say we had so many in class, but because we can say we had so many out of the world into our church. The more people we have here, the more opportunity they have of doing right and seeing right and being right. And it's just that practical, and so we're praying God will help us. You know, let me just throw this out there. This may be the sound like the silliest thing for years. I don't know if TJ remembers or not, but for years I've had this great burden that some couple or a woman's got to be involved in it would start a baby born ministry. Now let me say this in a better way so you'll understand it. We have bus workers and nursery and all the age, and some of y'all work in nursery and all that kind of stuff. But I've yet to see somebody. I used to say, man, why isn't somebody there every time a baby's born? Why isn't there something from our church, a track, a little Bible, pink or blue or something, for that family, letting them know we care about them? Jesus says, suffer little children to come unto me. Well, it's not just when they get one or two or when they're born in our church. We need to be out there. Somebody needs to get on their heart. Man, I'm going to be at this hospital, Tenova down here. When they have a birth, I'm going to be up. People take pictures of them. They put them on the newspaper. They send them out. But are we getting it? By the way, that's a good time to reach that family. I'm just saying, that's one thought that's been on my mind for years. And the reason I got it on my mind was at Clarksville, with the military base there, Fort Campbell, the Bach Hospital there on the base, and the hospital there in Cleveland, which is now Tenova, but it was something else. Man, they just having babies left and right. All those military families come back, and they just have loads of them at one time and ship them off, come in and have another one. And I said, man, we need somebody out here reaching these babies. I know the baby can't get saved. I'm talking about having an interest in it, though, from birth. But there's maybe an idea that I'm not thinking of. See, sometimes we get the idea, and I know what time it is. Stay with me. Sometimes we get the idea, whether the preacher or the pastor, and whoever you get in as a pastor, whatever that case may be, he won't and can't do everything and shouldn't. His goal and desire is to follow the Lord and to lead you in those kind of things. But there are individual people in this church that could get a burden about something and do a great work for God. You could get a desire to build your Sunday school class and reach your children. And I'm not just talking about numbers even when I say that. In your Sunday school classes, especially you, well, all ages, but your adults, you know, you say, okay, I got a Brother John's getting on to us. He wants my class to grow. No. I want you to say, Lord wants my class to grow. And the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. 120, 3,000, 5,000. And God's doing all these things. But not just that. Then you're seeing somebody and say, man, that guy there's got some problems. He's not doing this right. It's our job and your job to help get that. You say, I'm going to go tell the preacher. I want you to do that, but you're a leader so that you can also help in those areas. That's what it's all about. It's a teamwork makes the dream work. We break it down. And so, rehearse. We have a great effectual door open because of the person, the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the preaching center of the local church, political allowances, postal innovations, pre-trib urgency and unction, people in need, and a great plan to follow. And I'm praying God will help us with this. Number two, and this is a two-point sermon, two big-point sermon. Y'all remember Brother Keith, who's the guy that used to have the nose? Brother Clayton. He'd always say, one big point, and even little points. This is your second big point. Y'all know Brother Clayton. Number two, Paul said, when he was writing this out here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but he don't stop there. And there are many adversaries. So let me give you some of these adversaries. So, by the way, the adversaries did not stop him, did they? Sometimes we look at adversaries as an opportunity to quit or stop. That's not what he's saying. He said they're out there. You're going to have them. You don't train to run a race unless you get out there and do some running or to lift weights or whatever you do in life requires something to it, some energy, some effort. Even eating desires, you got to pick up your elbow, you know? And so, but here's the thing. He said there's many adversaries. Could be these are all going to start with a D. What about Demas? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. By the way, other places you read about Demas, Demas was a great worker. Demas was one of his right-hand men, but something happened in his life. He got away from God, and he left. So the Bible tells us in Matthew 9:37, in that area, that laborers are few. It's a shame. It's sad. I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't happen. I pray, God, it won't happen to me. I pray it won't happen to you. But it is realistically that sometimes workers fall out and get away from God. That's one of those adversaries we have to work at. We don't have to be critical or mean, but we know that happens. And then we have a Demas that has forsaken us. Number two, we have a Diotrephes who loveth to have the preeminence, 3 John 9. And by the way, in your classes this morning, we talk about Jesus. He's the only one who's preeminent. But there are people, this is not my opinion. This is not you looking around trying to figure out who it is. I'm just saying to you from the Bible, he says there are people in the church who love to have the preeminence. Diotrephes. And by the way, I thought it was kind of unique. Now, you know, my mind works this way. I thought Demas would like to get back. Diotrephes would like to get rid of. And he stayed. Another one left. I mean, but here he is. He wants to have the preeminence. And by the way, folks, listen to me. Probably not in that church. In this church. I've not picked up on like one person being that way. But what God's warning us is that every one of us have a little bit of that in us. And we know that happens when decisions are made. I'm going to go ahead and say it. When decisions are made by authority and you fuss about it, why would we throw a fit about it if it's what God led to do? Let's go forward. You see, it's no, I want my way. All about me or others. It's not about others. It's about me. We've got to be careful of that and pray that God will help us because he's saying in that chapter that this was hurting the church. He wanted to get there and do some things, could not do it. And so these adversaries are Demas and Diotrephes. And then division. Romans 16, 17 through 18 talks about division based over doctrine. Mark then which caused division. I mentioned earlier, probably because I had studied this, and I'll say it again. And I'm not talking, I know that people have different personalities. Let me tell you a story. Temple Baptist Church in Powell, years ago when I went there with Brother Sexton and all that. And don't misunderstand this, but anybody that's been there, he does everything to the nth degree, and thank God for it, right? It's great work. And even if you disagree with everything, that's fine. I remember when I first went there, I was 38, and I'd already been pastor and went there. And I don't want to say their names, but I met two of the leaders. And one of them's in heaven now, but the other one's still there. And some of you folks would know, I know Brother Keith, y'all would, but both of them. Anyway, good guys. Each of them had Sunday school classes. I'm here seeing all these wonderful things happen. My eyes like, wow, look at a big church, all the people saved, da 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 da. And then I walked in one day early, and I saw a table there, and I saw this leader on this end of the table, and this leader on this end of the table. I need it for my class. And I was going, I mean, these are two of the guys that sit on the platform. These are two of the biggest guys. He said, what did you do? I laughed. To this day, I don't know who got the table. So why did you say that? Because it reminded me again, we are but flesh. And those men are great men of God. I mean, I'm just saying, you might argue over a table I walked in and I was given a single Sunday school class. This is before I got cultured. Now I'm still a hillbilly preacher. And I was given a single Sunday school, about 75 of us in there. Not the college, Crown College, but the UT students and all that. And I couldn't find any offering plates. And Mark Fowler was there. Some of y'all know him. I said, Mark was when he married you then. I said, Mark, I need some offering plates. And I found some, some kind of yucky looking things, bowls, but there was four of them, but they weren't offering plates. I pulled him out. I said, that's all I can find. He said, that won't work for Dr. Sexton. And so he went somewhere. I don't know whether he stole him out of the auditorium or not, but he came back with some real shiny offering plates. And I thought, my mind was, good night. What big, we're going to take up the offering. Let's just do it. But he wanted everything done right. I think that's good. I still think y'all take up the offering whether you got that or not. But so what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes there's division. I'm not talking about personalities, but division over doctrine. Listen, we are, if we're not, then I'm going to resign tomorrow, but we are an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, right? I mean, we believe the King James Bible is the authorized version of the Bible is the very Word of God in English-speaking language. Is that not right? We believe that Jesus Christ started local churches. Everybody saves going to heaven, and whether there's a big church in heaven, we're not going to debate that. I'm just saying, all the times the word is used in the Bible, every one of them but four or five are a local assembly. That's Bible. We believe that we've been given the Great Commission, correct? To get out there and preach the gospel and to send missionaries all over the world, both here and abroad, Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost parts of the earth. We believe all these things. We believe that the second coming of Christ is the next great thing to happen, the rapture. It takes us out of here, 7 years of tribulation. And then we're going to come back at the end of that and rule and reign with Christ, riding them white horses and them glorified bodies. Hallelujah. And all that stuff is there. We believe that people died in Jesus or are going to, some of them bodies are going to come back together. I believe all that. I believe in the resurrected Savior. If you come in here and tell me that whosoever will is only if God picks them out, we're going to have problems. So what I'm saying is that happens. I'm speaking to teachers and leaders now in your Sunday school classes. Be careful what you read and study for your Sunday school classes. Make sure it lines up with what this church believes. Many a church has had problems because somebody got in their mind that they're not pre-trib, they're post-trib, or amillennial, or pro-millennial, or add so many pronouns in front of it, you can't figure out what it means. My point is, let's keep it what we believe. The clear teaching of the Word of God. Amen. See, you don't have to worry about me getting you confused because I have to take it simple. And these are the simple things that are taught in the Bible. Division. These adversaries are demons, diatrophies, division, debt. Oh, I just felt guilt when I said that. And what I mean by debt, I don't think the church should be in a lot of debt either, but sometimes churches do. But I'm saying we're talking about the adversaries as far as doing the work, a great and effectual door. You and I know this very well, that a lot of missionaries can't go because of debt. And so, we're trying to work on that and pray about that and teach our young people that and all these kind of things. And some things are unforeseen. That's all I mean by that. I mean, there are some things that just stop us from doing what we would do. So let's be careful with our finances and all those kind of things. Doubt, another word. Hebrews 11:6 said, he must believe that he is, that he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. And so we must believe God's called us to do these things. We can't be living in doubt. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I talked to Daniel Norton Friday, I believe it was. And Daniel Christine. How many of y'all know Daniel Christine, our missionaries? What a lot of y'all don't know, though, is Jamie and I knew Daniel before he was married to Christina, and we knew Christina before she was married to Daniel because I knew her at Crown. And then Daniel, when we started school here, I had Daniel work with me. And Daniel was in our single Sunday school class that we taught over at the Haven, and Jamie was doing her best to get Daniel married. And he brought that up to me yesterday. He was talking to me. He said, Brother John, he said, I was just thinking back, and he was telling me all these things. But my point, for saying, let you know I know him, but here was the only point I was going to get at. He quoted that verse to me about his work there. Hebrews 11:6, they must, you know, he that must come to God must believe that he is to please the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And he said, John, the problem here is they don't believe he is. And boy, that hit me. That hit me. He said, they don't believe he is. You know, you got people across this land here, just about anybody you talk to believes there's a God. You might want one or two that don't, but in the South here, in this area, they believe there's a God. They believe the parts of the Bible are true, whatever. He's actually dealing with people that are clueless to everything you and I believe. Can you imagine that? That's why I don't give missionaries a really rough time whenever I know those guys. I know what they're dealing with. And so, but doubt. Number six, doctor. Doctor? Well, it's a D, right? What I'm saying is things that hinder us, things that are adversaries. Doctors, disease, that's what that goes with. I mean, sometimes there's just some health issues that we can't do it. I don't mean you got to have your doctor degree. I mean there are diseases that hinder us. There's this disease called, OA is the word to use for it. It stands for old age. I mean, life changes, folks. There's another one called OW. That's overweight. That's the nice term. I mean, there's things that happen in our life and we can't, I can still see my, and I think I said this the other day, so if I'm treating myself, it's a sign of old age. But anyway, I can still see my little skinny mama. She got down to just nothing before she went to heaven. Even in the last couple of years of her life, she couldn't, we would take her out on visitation sometimes, just take her, set her in a car, and she'd go out with some people. And she just got where she couldn't go. And it used to drive her nuts because she'd say, oh, I want to go, I can't, or I want to do this, do that. There comes a time when she couldn't do it. She couldn't read. She loved to read. And she got to where she couldn't see and she couldn't read and all those kind of things. And so for a few years there, she can't see, she can't read, she can't go out visiting. And my sister that she stayed with got tired of listening to me preach on tape because she would get my sermons listening to me preach. When she couldn't go to church, and everybody else got tired of that, but anyway, she didn't. And so all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. She was still useful to the Lord. Because, listen, God leaves people here because they pray for us. God leaves people here because we need to pray for them and help them and love them. And so, but I'm saying that can be an adversary sometimes in our life and all these kind of things. Then number seven is the word devil. The slanderer, I think that's what that word means, accuser of the brethren, Satan, all these terms the Bible tells about him. He doesn't quit, folks. He's always coming back. You remember how he came back and fought with Jesus and all those times. The Bible says he went away for a season and then come back. I know I've said this before. I'll close with this. In the town I grew up in was a dry county. Y'all know what that is? And it was dry county. They were not allowed to legally sell alcohol and all those kind of things. And don't get me wrong. I knew where the bootleggers were. And after I got saved, we used to witness to them and went them to the Lord. But I remember whenever they were trying to pass some laws about making it wet. And I was probably 19 or 20. I wasn't married even then yet. And I went with some of the preachers. Richard Oldham. I remember Brother Carson. Brother R.B. Adamson, these are fundamental Baptist preachers, and there were some other ones, but these are ones I know. We all went to the council, city council, I guess what they have, and the mayor and everybody's up there and all the council. And every one of them got up, I didn't, but all the preachers got up and said, we hope this is not true, we don't want this to happen, we're against it, da 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 da. At least 10 men, even a one or two spoke. One guy in a wheelchair that had been in a car wreck spoke, all of them against doing this. One guy got up and said, well, I understand all this, but I just want to have a little wine with my wife when I go out to eat, and surely y'all can't begrudge me that. So, and that's really about all he said. And, of course, Brother Carson at that time said, he looked at the mayor and said, Mayor, I've already heard rumors that it's a done deal. You're going to pass this. He said, I hope that's not true because that is a shame to make a farce of this, bring a lot of us in here that are against it, and then go ahead and do it. But they went ahead and did it. Why? M-O-N-E-Y. And so, but my point for saying that is this. That thing had been voted down so many times, but it comes back because the devil don't quit. We're going to be fighting until we meet Jesus. So we have a great and effectual door. And here's the good news. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can't overcome him, but he has overcome him. And so we got to look to the Lord. So Shenandoah Baptist Church, January 7th, 2018. We got a job to do. And that job first is to be right with God. And make sure we know him and we live for him and work with him. Secondly, is forgiving people when we make mistakes against each other. And then getting out there and finding a spot to serve. And serve God. And let God do something in our lives. Will you bow your heads, please? Heads bowed, nice, low.